All righty, grab your Bible this evening if you have it with you and turn to John chapter number 3. We're going to start in John 3 and then we're going to go to 1 John. Look at a few verses. We're talking about the subject of love. It kind of goes along with what we're going to be watching here in a few moments. And then kind of next week, tying in both this week, next week, the movie, Valentine's Day kind of idea. But we're going to look at the idea of love examined. Love examined. And this is a very much, as Pastor had said, it's a kind of a short shorter message, almost a devotional style message, but this is something very important for us. We know that in 2 Corinthians we see the love of Christ constraineth us. We see ideas over and over throughout Scripture talking about the love of Christ, the love of God, and how it is supposed to relate to us, how we're supposed to show it. And that's kind of what we're going to be looking at tonight. See a little bit from 1 John talks about God's relationship to us through love, and then Christ, and then us reciprocating that. So that's what we're going to look at, the idea of love examined this evening for a few moments. But John chapter 3, verse number 16, probably the most famous verse in the Bible, at least one of the most familiar, if not the most. We're going to look at this verse and just look at the love of God for a few moments, but we're going to read this verse, and then we're going to turn over to 1 John chapter 3 in just a moment. But John chapter 3 and verse 16, just follow along with me. Probably don't even need to follow in your Bible because you probably know the verse already. But John chapter 3 and verse number 16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." We see here this wonderful thought of salvation, thought up by God in ever since the fall of man. It was put into place, put into kind of motion of how the redemption of the world was going to be bought. And we see this verse telling us plainly that it was done, that Christ was going to come, and whosoever believed in him would not perish but have everlasting life. But we see why that was made possible at the first part of that verse. It says, "For God so loved the world." That's what we're looking at, love examined. We're going to look at love a little bit tonight. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll get into our message tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity to meet together. Lord, we thank you for your love for us. What a wonderful blessing it is to know that we are loved by God, to know that we are loved by the Creator of the universe. Lord, that you love us so much that you sent your Son, Jesus, to die for us. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to learn something this evening from this short message about your love and how we are to show love in return. Lord, I pray that you'd bless now, bless my thoughts and my tongue as I preach. Lord, I pray that we'd each learn something that we can better serve you and be more motivated to serve you in the days that remain. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you would turn back to 1 John. Most of our verses and our points that we're going to be looking at come from 1 John. Although, starting in John 3:16, I read a story of D.L. Moody was out of town and he had a young preacher preaching in his pulpit. And he, for a week, he preached, and every night his text was John 3:16. And D.L. Moody got back Friday night, and his wife, Moody at the time was very much against sin, and as we all should be, but he really had a very jaded idea towards the idea of the love of God. But his wife convinced him, believe it or not, Moody was not going to go to his own church on Friday night because his wife had said, "Oh, he keeps preaching on the love of God and how he loves us." And Moody said, "Well, I disagree with him, but I'll go with him and listen to him preach." And he got there and the young man stood up and he said, "I've searched the Bible over and I can't find a better text than the text that we've had for the past four nights. So turn to John 3:16. He preached another message from the wonderful text of John 3:16. And what I believe it's one of the, as I've said in Sunday school and things like that, that we see the whole plan of salvation pretty much wrapped up there, that God loves us, that we must believe on his Son for salvation. And Moody, after that, had a sign put up that God loves us or God loves you. And it's a wonderful thing that young person changed even D.L. Moody's mind on the subject of the love of God. And it is a wonderful thing for us to realize that God does love us. It's not just God saying, "Oh, well, here's a way of salvation." But he loved us so much that he provided that way of salvation. If you would look in John chapter, or 1 John rather, chapter 4, we're going to look at two verses. 1 John chapter 4, verse number 8, and then verse number 16. 1 John 4, verses 8 and 16, it says, "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." Then jump down to verse number 16. It says, "We have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him." We see here from these two verses, we see love explained. Love explained. What is, when you think of a definition of God, this is the only definition that is given. God is love. We see, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." But when we think of the definition of love, rather, it says, what is love when we look in the Bible? God is love. You can see evidenced God's love through every page of Scripture. I've heard it said that you can see Jesus on every page of the Bible. I completely agree. And because of that, I believe you can see God's love on every page of the Bible. Because we're going to see that God showed us his love through Christ. But we see here as we start off our message and our thoughts this evening, that God is love. If we're going to have a perfect love, have that love that we should have for one another, whether it be our church family, our regular family, our spouse, our friends, whatever it may be, it must be a godly love. That perfect love is from God. God is love. And that means that love, if we're going to have it, must be of God. Now, you can have the world's love, what they would call love, which is really nothing more than lust or feeling, truthfully. And they would say, "Oh, I love whatever it may be." And like I would say, "I love pizza." But I don't love pizza like I love my wife, right? It's a completely different thing. That would be more of I like pizza because it tastes really good, you know. But I love my wife because it's commanded by God, and because God wants me to have love for her, just like God wants me to have love for my family, wants to have love for my church. But that love, if we're going to have love, it must come from God. And the best way to see that is to look at these verses and say, "Hey, God is love." What does that love demonstrate to us? We saw that in John 3:16. "For God so loved the world." And that kind of leads us to our next point. We see love explained. God is love. But then we see love extended. Love extended, if you would look at 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 1. And then we're going to read verse number 16. But 1 John 3, verses 1 and then down in verse 16, it says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." Notice that the love the Father hath bestowed upon us. In verse number 16 of 1 John 3, it says, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." Once again, we see that the way that God extended love to us was through Christ. He extended that love. Imagine sending, he sent his only begotten Son to earth to live a perfect life, but then to suffer for us and then to die on the cross for us so that we could have eternal life. He sent his only begotten Son to give up his life so that we would never have to give up our lives. We'd have eternal life with him. So we see this love extended. It says that the Father hath bestowed upon us, extending it to us, giving us an opportunity to experience the love that God has for us. We need to have that love. We need to take part of that love. Make sure that we've accepted the free gift of salvation made possible by the love of God. And then once we do that, we'll understand the love that God has for us, and we'll be able to give that away. And that kind of leads us once again to our last point. We see love explained. God is love. We see love extended, because Christ laid his life down for us. And next, lastly, we see love expressed. I think you could say that God expressed his love on when he sent Jesus to die on Calvary. But this is speaking of, how do we express it? How do we express our love back to God and back to others as God has commanded? First, we see, let's look at a couple verses here in 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 19. This is a very, very familiar verse, and this goes right along with what we've been talking. 1 John 4:19, it says, "We love him because he first loved us." So if God is love, and God has shown us his love through sending Christ to die on Calvary, we see that he loves us, thus we must love him. We love him because he first loved us. If he loved us, then it would make sense that for everything that he's done for us that we should reciprocate that love, that we should give him that love back and say, I love God because he has done so much for me. But we see that we're supposed to love him. How can we show him our love? If you turn to John chapter 14, back sort of where we started, John 14 and verse number 15. John chapter 14 and verse number 15, it says, if ye love me, keep my commandments. A very short verse there, but very pointed, straightforward to the point. The Lord is saying, if you love me, this is Christ himself talking, if you love me, keep my commandments. What a wonderful way. We see in 1 John, we love him because he first loved us. So he loves us, so we're supposed to show our love back to him. And Christ is telling us here in John 14 that if you love me, if you want to show me your love, keep my commandments. What a wonderful thing that we see the Bible full of these commands and these instructions from God. And if we want to show our love to him, the first thing we have to do is keep those commandments. It seems pretty simple. I think if we compare that to the son or the father-son, the parent-child relationship, how hey, the parents tell the child something to do, and because the child loves their parents, they'll keep their commandments. They'll do what their parents told them to do. And I think that's a very very important thing for us as Christians to realize that we're supposed to love God. And the way that we can show him we love him is by keeping his commandments. That's a kind of a no-brainer thing. But the Lord even went so far as to say, hey, if ye love me, keep my commandments. So we see first the first way that we can express our love is by our obedience. But then if you would turn over to John chapter 13 in verse 35, back just a page, another way that we can show our love for Christ is by the love we have for one another. Verse number 35 of John chapter 13, it says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. So we see, just to kind of put it all in perspective, we see God is love. He is the example of perfect love to us. And because of his love, he loved us so much that he sent his son to die for us, to come to earth, live a perfect life, to suffer and be beaten and to die for us so that we could have eternal life. And he says, that's how I'm going to show my love to you. But if you want to love me, this is how you do it. You keep my commandments. And then if you want to be identified as someone who loves me, you'll love one another. So basically he's saying, I'll know you love me if you keep my commandments. But everyone else will know you love me if you love each other. So what a wonderful thing. If we're going to express our love to God, he wants us to express our love to one another. We need to be loving each other and trying to help each other. And think about what we should be doing if we love one another. If we love each other, we'll be lifting each other up in prayer. We'll be trying to offer a word of encouragement. We'll be trying to help each other with needs and things of that nature. Because when we look back at what true love is, what God showed us, that perfect love, when we look back to that, it makes it very easy for us to want to do things for others. If we look at what love is and we look at how truly God loves us, and if that is the mark that we're shooting for our love, then it shouldn't be a problem at all for people to identify us as Christians, because they'll see us, because we'll have that love one for another, and we'll have that love for Christ. We're trying to keep his commandments. We're trying to do what he says to do. So we see love explained in the simple phrase, God is love. And we see love extended on Calvary when we see that God bestowed us love, and we perceive the love of God because he laid down his life for us. And then we see love expressed not from God to us, but from us to God by first our obedience. The Lord knows we love him by our obedience, and then the world knows we love God by the love we have for one another. What a wonderful thing it is, the love of God. And that's what we're going to be watching a little movie about here in just a few moments. But the love of God is so wonderful. It's so vast and it's so magnificent. And God does love us. God loves the world. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. It's wonderful to think of the love of God as something that he has given to us. He loves us, and truthfully what he says is, if you love me, keep my commandments. He asks for our love in return, and the love that he asks us to give back to him is just the keeping of his commandments. You see, and as I said in 2 Corinthians, the love of Christ constraineth us. He wants us to be motivated by that love. We see that we're going to keep his commandments to show our love, but then it's just a giant kind of a circular effect. We show him our love by keeping his commandments, and then he says, hey, the love of Christ is supposed to constrain you, that it's supposed to keep you motivated. So as you're trying to show your love, you just look to the love of Christ to keep you motivated, to keep serving and to keep going and to keep keeping on his commandments. So we see love explained. God is love. Love extended at Calvary. And then our love expressed by our obedience and the love we have for others. I hope that we'll take these things and think about them and think about the love of God. Maybe when we pray, we can thank him for loving us. We can start by thanking him for saving us and then go a step farther and say, I want to show my love for God, so I'm going to keep his commandments. I'm going to love the brethren. I'm going to love my brothers and sisters. I'm going to try to take the love of God into the world and show them that God loves them as well. So we see this idea of love examined. Looked at a few passages here in the book of John and the book of 1 John. Some wonderful things about the love of God. I'm thankful, personally, I'm very thankful that God loves me. I'm thankful that he loves us and he's given us the gift of his love and given us the gift of salvation so that we could take that love and live in that love and be motivated by it and show that love to God, back to him, and show that love to others as we live on earth. So let's take these ideas of love explained. God is love. Think about that and think about how he loved us and showed it to us, and then think about how we're supposed to show it back to him by obeying him and then loving one another.